You're listening to the weekly podcast from Solid Ground Church. We hope that this is uplifting and encourages you to take your next step in your relationship with Jesus. If we can be of any help at all, please visit us on the web at solidground.church. Now let's get to this week's message. We're in the middle of a series right now called God of Miracles. And it's a series that operates under the premise that God does miracles. And thus far, basically what we've seen is Jesus healing people. But miracles are so much bigger than just healings. And so here's what we're going to see as we continue going through the Gospel of John. What we're going to see now is Jesus do some creative miracles that are really just fun to watch. And we'll get to like unpacking their significance as we go. And so again, if you have a Bible, John 6 is where we're going to be. And John 6, starting in verse 1, says this. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" It says he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. So we're just going to pause right there. Because something that I love that we're going to begin to see about Jesus in this story, and this is something that I love about our God, is that he's intensely relational. Intensely relational. Like when it comes down to it, he is all about connecting with you and me. And so I love you at this moment where, okay, you've got this big throng, this crowd that are showing up and they're hungry, right? And so Jesus just kind of leans into Philip and he just goes, what are we going to do? Right? And it's kind of just like he knows the answer to it, and he's not asking it for his sake, he's asking it for Philip's. And I love this about the Lord, that one of the things he does, he sort of invites us into his activity on the earth. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen like a parent with a kid, right? And they ask the kid to help him with yard work outside. I mean, you've had that experience, you know, you got your little one, you've got a rake, and come on, you could rake way better than your kid could, right? But you hand them the rake and you just have them sort of do that. Why do you do that? It's because you enjoy that relationship with them, and you enjoy that sort of that connecting and experiencing that with them. And that's one of the things that we discover about the Lord. Like he loves to do life with us. And so, you know, sometimes people go like, well, why should we pray if, you know, God is all powerful and he knows everything and he's sovereign? We pray because he loves to relate to us in it. We get to experience the miracle with him. And that's one of the things I just think is so great about God, our Heavenly Father, is that he chooses to include us in what he does. And we see that revealed in the nature of Jesus. And so Jesus leans over to Philip and he's like, all right, what do we do? You know, how are we going to feed these people? Oh, I don't know. Even though he does know, okay? And so look at this. Here's Philip's response. Verse 7 says, Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." So, Lord, I don't know, but like, it's going to take a lot of money that we don't have to feed just like a bite to all these people. That's Philip's response. But look at this, verse 8. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's what he said, and this is so great. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will they go among so many?" And just a fun note. John is going out of his way to describe how meager the means of food are in the situation. So you get the case, like he has like these 2 small fish, but beyond that, okay, barley loaves, and you should just know this. In the first century, barley loaves were known as poor man's bread. Like it wasn't a particularly like really great baking. Like it was something that people who didn't have much money could sort of scrap together. It didn't have a lot of sustenance to it. And so you've basically got the situation. You got like thousands of people like there in front of Jesus, and all he's got with in front of him is basically a Lunchable. Like he's got a kid's lunch, and he's going to use that somehow. Now here's why I think this is so important, okay? I think this is so important because for many of us, when it comes to how we expect God to sort of intervene and use us in life and things like that, many of us, we look at what's only in our hands. And so it goes something like this, like if I expect an outcome, if I expect the Lord to do something, okay, it's if I can see something good from it, right? So like if I can see, man, like you know, I've got this town or I've got this money or I've got this business or I've got this influence, something that impresses me, we think that's what God needs. We think that he needs to sort of be swayed by the great thing that we've got in our hand. But listen, it's not about what's in your hand. It's about the one who's using it. And we have this moment. And I just love this, okay? Because here's the thing that we begin to glean from this story. Like, you know, as we look at this, okay, Jesus is going to do something amazing with this small means. I think for a lot of us, when we sort of evaluate our circumstances and evaluate, like, God, could you ever want to use me? And you know, I'm not the best this or best that. Here's God, listen, God's not looking for you to be the best this or the best that. If you want to know, like, okay, what should your prayer be for the Lord to use you in this generation? Here's what it is, really simple. Lord, what I have is yours. What I have is yours. You know, it's not perfect. It's not the greatest thing. But listen, you know what? Whatever I have is yours. And however you want to use that, okay. And here's the really cool thing, okay? I'm telling you, God specializes with prayers like this. Here's like, you know, like when you look at your life right now and you wonder, like, how could God ever redeem that? How could God ever use that? How could God ever transform that? Listen, he's a God who brings feasts from kids' scraps. Like, don't question what he can do here, because listen, let me just tell you, okay, I've been at this long enough to know, just so that you know, online viewer who's despairing right now, I have seen marriages way worse than yours that have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to be used to put marriages back together, okay? And I don't even know you, but I know this. I've seen them way worse than you could have, I promise you. I've seen people way more jacked up than you, used incredibly by God. Have you ever read this book? Like, have you ever seen the types of people that God tends to gravitate towards and use and show up in their life? I mean, like, seriously, minus Jesus, everybody in this book is basically a basket case. Like, they're nuts. And yet God, like, they have like all kinds of trauma, all kinds of family history, all kinds of baggage, all kinds of failure. And yet God is just so great at showing up in this thing that most of us would look at and be like, whatever. And show up and be like, no, I'm going to use that in a powerful way. And so that's our prayer. Like, listen, Lord, whatever I have is yours. And I don't know how you can use it, but listen, it's yours. You do with it whatever you want. So our story continues in verse 10. It says this. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There's plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And it's just a little fun little detail for us. Because sometimes, you know, if you've read the story, it's known as the feeding of the 5,000. It's more than 5,000. 5,000 men. It doesn't include women and children. So a lot of people are there. Okay, so it says this. All right, verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all gathered enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. In other words, and this is just so cool, okay? When Jesus feeds them, you've got this moment, okay, like, you've all these people, where are we going to get it, right? He takes a small amount and he multiplies it in such a way. And just conceptually, I have like the weirdest time picturing this miracle. Sometimes if I'm feeling particularly rambunctious, I like to sort of just picture like Jesus when he's breaking the bread. It's almost like a wood chipper, like just like breaking, like things just shoot up in the air and it scatters everywhere. I can't picture, but I just think it's neat, you know? And so he breaks it and he distributes it. And this is miraculous. This isn't just a story about like people sharing and feeling. No, like this is absolutely only God could make the food multiply this way. Just like fish upon fish, bread upon bread, just feeding these thousands and thousands of people. And the thing that I think is really neat is this, okay, that when Jesus feeds them, he feeds them in such abundance that there's so much, that there's 12 baskets full left over. It's not one of these things where, okay, like he feeds them and just kind of it's like, oh man, maybe there's exactly for that bite so the person doesn't keel over dead at the end. And I think this is important for us to realize that the way that Jesus blesses and the abundance that he gives, because for how many of us, when we pray, it's like, first of all, it's a stretch for us to get there. Because when we pray, there's not a lot of faith. It's just kind of like, all right, Lord, I'm asking you to do this because I can't, but if I figure out a way to, I will. And just like, how many of us, if we were at the mountain there, right, and we were watching Jesus and you know, we were like, listen, we need some food. How many of us would pray for baskets to be left over? Most of it, like, how many of us, we would just be content like this. You'd be like, Lord, I need food. If you just, like, spare a chiclet, maybe I'll take that. And, like, that's what, like, because that's what a lot of us, when it comes to sort of the lack of abundance in our prayer. But listen, we're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about the one who made everything. He's not lacking anything. And when we see this revealed in this story that, okay, listen, Jesus feeds and he feeds and he feeds and he feeds. And so, you go, okay, well, that's neat. So what's the point? What's the point of this story? Good question, online viewer. And there are a few things. Okay, number one, whenever we encounter a story of Jesus in the Gospels, one of the questions we want to ask ourselves is, what can we learn about God from this? Okay. Because remember, if you remember, like if you were here for our This Is Jesus series, like months and months and months ago, one of the things we talked about was, listen, when it comes to Jesus and the actions that we see him do, ultimately they're showing us what God is like. Like in John 1:18, John writes it this way in the prologue to his gospel. He says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. Meaning, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. For how many people, like when it comes to how they connect to God, they can connect to Jesus because they sort of see him as like somebody who will stick up for them. You know, like they sort of picture like God, the Holy Spirit is this kind of weird mystical force. And then that's a whole other sermon why that's wrong. But okay. And then it comes to like Jesus and he's their buddy. Okay. And they sort of picture God as like this one who's just ready to lay down the hammer. Right. And so they picture Jesus as just kind of being like the guy that gets between God and you. Who's like, no, he's cool. I swear. Like, you know, like that. Right. But here's the thing to understand. Jesus came because of God. Meaning, like the whole sending of the Son into the world happened because God sent, like God the Father sent the Son. Like God the Father, if you're curious what he's like, look at Jesus, because they share the same nature. And so the question becomes, okay, like what do we learn about God in this story? What's the point of this story? You know, if you've been reading the Bible for a while, maybe you want to give me a sort of hyper-theological answer. You want to go, well, you know, listen, it harkens back to Elisha's miracle in 2 Kings 4, you know? And it's one of those things where, like, you want to sort of show this overarching thing about how, like, Elisha, way back in the Old Testament, had a moment where he broke bread and had the same similar miracle where it feeds this army, you know? And while, yes, you can certainly glean from this that Jesus is just not the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophet, but he's infinitely greater. That's fair. You also have to ask the question, well, if I'm going back to the Old Testament and I'm reading the story of Elisha, why did that miracle happen? And the answer is really simple. Because God's people were starving, and so he fed them. More to the point, here's the thing I want you to see about God this week. This is the thing I want you to understand as we read this story. And if you're taking notes, just write this. Like, I need you to hear this today because some of you feel like it's a chore to ask God to help you. Like, you think somehow he's just annoyed by you doing that. Here's the thing I need you to understand today. Write this down, okay? God's heart is to take care of you. It is. Like, he enjoys taking care of you. He longs for you to ask him. He longs for the opportunity for you to just like, Father, could you please help me in this situation? Okay. God's heart is to take care of you. And you might go, okay, well, what does that look like? Well, a lot of ways. You know, I've been thinking about this because I've realized something, and all this COVID stuff, it's just solidified something. I've realized in my life, that I have never been in want, like that God has always taken care of me. And he'll do the same for you. Like, I'll just give you some stories of that. And what I would hate for you to conclude is, well, yeah, of course God would do that for you because you're a man of God. Well, are you a Christian? Yeah, then so are you. Like, well, you know, like God, of course God would take care of you because you're part of church. No, you are the church. Same God who's taking care of me can take care of you. Some of these guys, listen, I'm going to tell you some stories. Like, if you've been around SGC for a while, you've heard me say before, but listen, I'd rather you get annoyed by me saying the same things over and over again than forget that God did them. I remember we came, my wife and I, 11 years ago now, we came to Delaware to plant this church, and we came here with no funding. We came here with a very small amount of people to help us launch this thing, and in the beginning, it just wasn't in the budget for me to be on salary, so I worked a bunch of different jobs to stay afloat while pastoring here. And a few years in, I could have done that forever. I had some really fun jobs. But a few years in, we began to notice, like, there were things that were coming up during my day job that I was prevented from going to care for the needs of our people. And so, like, it was like a week. I had a guy go into the hospital with chest pains twice, and I had a girl call me sobbing because she just found out her fiancé was cheating on her. I mean, like, it was a bad week. All right. And we weren't in a place where, you know, we had a lot of people who could be shepherding and doing all this stuff. And I remember just being at this moment where I was like, God, it just seems to me like you want me to do this full time. And I don't know how. I'm like, I've never fundraised in my life. I don't even know where to begin to get that money. Like, like we certainly don't have it right now. But you know, like, Lord, you know, almost like this thing here. Okay, like, what I have is yours. Like, if this is what you want me to do, I'll take that step in faith and I'll go for it. And so began to ask just a couple people, like would you help? Would you consider helping my salary? And we had some really, really generous folks step up. And the crazy part was this, just like unprecedented finances just came in to the point where I think it was within 2 months, 2/3 of my salary for the year was in. And the rest just trickled in throughout the rest of the year. So I was able to like step out and do that. Like coming into this, like this facility that we're in now. I mean, like that's one story of the Lord just taking care of me and my family. He'll do the same for yours. Like coming into this place now, you know, like we reached this point where we were in downtown Rehoboth and you know, we realized like where we were, it wasn't going to help us reach the people that we believe that God was calling us to reach. And so we made the decision like we needed to move. And I remember coming here to this facility and it being way beyond our price range and it needing a lot of work. And I remember like having this moment where like we brought the leaders in, right? And the rent the owner was asking, I think was like $3,500 a month, something like that. I mean, we didn't have it. He didn't know that. Dottie, if you're watching, sorry. But anyway, like we didn't, okay? And so it was one of these things where we had this moment where I brought the leaders in, they're walking around the building, taking a look and asking them like, you know, like what do you think? You know, and so they're writing like they're jotting notes and while they're doing that, I remember going into like what was kind of a lobby before we gutted it, and there was this table that was sitting out there, and they're out on the table because the people who used to own this or rent this facility were the Unitarian Universalists, and so they don't have Bibles, but they had like a big guest registration book out there. It's like a big thick thing, and I remember sitting down, sort of putting my hands on it, just kind of being like, God, if you don't go with us right now, like, we're not going to make it. So I'm sitting here, and it's like in a moment, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, I'm with you, go take it. And I went, oh, whoa, right? So I go outside, and the leaders have sort of created a circle out in the parking lot. I'm like, you know, guys, what do you think we should do? And I don't tell them that that I heard that. And just right around the circle, they're just going, yes, 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 do it, do it, do it, do it. And I'm like, okay. And so now that's the thing kind of churning in my gut. Like, I'm like, okay, maybe I will. But here's the thing, because, you know, when it came down to it, it was my neck and a couple other guys' necks on the line. Like, if the finances didn't come in for the rent, we were, like, it was liable for us to come out of our pocket to pay for it. But we just felt like, okay, let's, and I didn't have that either, but okay. So we go ahead, we say, yes, let's do it. And in that moment, it was so crazy because it was like almost instantly God just flipped things around. So we said, yes, let's do it. And almost immediately, here comes this guy named Dave. And Dave is a professional construction project manager. Guy's been doing this for decades. And Dave just goes, hey, listen, this is going to sound crazy, but I really feel like the Lord is telling me to take off a couple weeks of work and oversee the renovation. And I'll do that for free. Is that cool? We're like, yeah, that'd be amazing. And here comes this other guy named Dan. Dan's a master electrician. And Dan's like, I'd love to just come in and rewire the place for free. And we're like, oh, whoa. Right. And then here comes another, like a local sign company. And they're like, hey, listen, we'd like to just go ahead and cover your signage for free. Hope that's okay. And like, we didn't even ask for that. That's amazing. And then here comes another place, Lewis Presbyterian Church. Lewis Presbyterian Church. I remember them coming to me. Okay. Again, another local church. And they went, hey, what's your biggest thing that you can't afford right now? And we were like, chairs. Because I don't even know, not, church chairs are ridiculously expensive. They, like, for some crazy reason, they are, okay? And so Lewis Presbyterian goes, we'll take care of your chairs. Every chair in here, by the way, has been paid for by Lewis Presbyterian Church, okay? All the chairs just taken. I mean, just thing after thing after thing after thing, right? And so when we came in, and here it gets even crazier, right? So we come into the building, and it's like, I think it's October or November, right? We leave downtown Rehoboth, we come here, and like we do like two preview services for our people, and the preview services were like 60 people strong, including kids. Like, I mean, that, you know, like, because you count that number when you're trying to sound bigger than you actually are. And so we're like, no, we're 60 people, you know? And so I remember like day one when we opened the doors to everybody else, this place just filled with people. I still don't know where you guys came from, by the way. Like, if you could just tell us that, that'd be great. Like, it was, like, we went from 60 to 175, like, in one day. People were like, you guys remember? Like, people were like sitting in the aisles. They went out into the lobby, and it just filled. It's been growing ever since. And you know that story. Here's some other ones, because listen, the same God who's taking care of this will take care of you because you are this. I remember going forward, guys, I'm just telling you this because this has been my experience. And you should just know this about me. You're like, well, okay, so like, what, are you a great man of faith? No, I'm not. You ask anybody who works with me in any close capacity how flaky I am. Like, seriously, Josh, don't shake your head. Like a lot of us, like if you're around me, you'll know, like, I changed my mind a lot. I go, oh, maybe we should do this. Maybe we should. Oh, God, like, it's got to come through. I don't know. No, and this is the thing, I think it's really neat. Like, when it comes to promises of God's provision, I don't see anywhere in Scripture where that's conditional. I don't see it anywhere. It's like, just muster up enough faith, and if you believe hard enough, God will take care of you. No, it just tends to be, listen, if you're one of his people, you can trust that you're in his hand. And so listen, this is growing and we're seeing more people come in. And guys, believe it or not, like doing church, like running one is hard work. Like I know, like sometimes it looks like we're just doing like a little show on Sunday morning, but like there's paperwork involved and people cry sometimes. And usually it's me. And one time, I'm here and it's like some letters, like some government filing paperwork is coming in the mail. And I'm looking at this and I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm like, God, I don't know what to do here. Like, could you please just send somebody to help me with this, because I don't know how to do business, okay? And I remember like praying that, and not long after, here's the crazy part, God heard me. And so there's this guy, and his name is Bob Dagan, and his wife Kathy, right? And they were living up in Pennsylvania. And God told them, listen, go ahead, sell your house up here and just move down to Delaware. Why? I'll show you. So they did it. They moved down here, and wouldn't you know it, like while they're here for about a year, they're trying to find a church home, and nothing is clicking with them, all right? And one, like as they're sort of lamenting this, one day they have a friend who just calls and goes, hey, listen, I had this weird dream that you and Kathy were sitting in lawn chairs outside of a church called Solid Ground. And they're like, is that even a thing? She's like, I think so. Right, and so they find our church and they start coming here. And here's the crazy part, okay? Listen, Bob has a background in finance and business administration. He's also an ordained pastor. And so here comes Bob and he starts serving in the church. And one day he's like, listen, what's your plan for me? I'm watching Bob. I'm well aware of what Bob could do. And so I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe if it was, as an elder. Because I didn't want to even ask, okay? And he goes, well, listen, if you'd ever be open to it, I'd be happy to serve as your executive pastor. I'd be happy to take care of the business and administrative end of things, right? And he goes, and listen, I don't need the money. I'll do it for free. Okay, what happened? God, who broke the bread, distributed the fish, heard me, and he hears you too. Look, let me go forward some more. Because some of you, like, if you've been around, you okay, yeah, but Bert, I can think of some times where you've prayed some things for the church and God hasn't done it. Like, come on, like if you've been around for a little bit, like as the Lord teaches us to grow our church and grow it, one of the big things was space, right? I mean, how many of you have been here? Listen, we're just going to, and like how dogmatically did I get on the stage? And I was like, hey, listen, we're going to pray for God to provide some land or a big place until he does, right? Remember that? Well, here's the crazy thing. Now we don't need one. Just saying. In fact, you want to hear about God's provision, and this isn't public, and elders, if I'm disclosing something that I'm not supposed to, sorry, but you're not here, so you can't stop me. So look, here's just something that you should know that happened about a month before COVID, okay? So listen, for like the last 3 years, we've been working on like trying to find like land, trying to find a place to build or what have you, and we reached this place behind closed doors where we found land that we really liked, like really liked. Like I looked at this, and I was like, man, that price is so good. Surely this must be Providence. Right? And so I remember being in this elders meeting and we're sort of evaluating, okay, like, do we make an offer here or not? Like, can we afford it or not? And I remember being like, just because, again, I don't get it all the time. I really don't. All right. Okay. And so I remember just being in this meeting and being like, okay, guys, let's do this. And they're like, but I mean, should we? I'm like, okay. And we're looking, like, we're evaluating, like, the income flow. We're evaluating what we can afford and what we can't. And it came down to, I'm looking at it one way. I'm going, listen, all right, we're down to the wire, but we could afford this. Okay, like, it would take basically every penny that we have coming in, but we could afford Toddy's and we could afford this other piece of land to begin to pay off and then build on, okay? And then starting with one elder, he just went, listen, it's not that I don't think God will provide, but I just wouldn't take such a risk with my own finances. I don't know that we should do that with the finances of the church. And I'm going, well, listen, we've got the months right here. Why would we not? Because look, I can trace right now, like, here's giving, here's what's coming in. Is there any reason why we should expect, month before COVID, is there any reason why we should expect the finances to change? But cooler heads prevailed because the Lord's in control of this. And we decided not to do it. Now, here's the crazy part. Our church, COVID hits, in-person giving stops. And by the way, this is not like a give to save, solid ground. They're like, we're fine. Like, we've seen a minimal dip, but we're just fine. All the bills are paid. That we're not losing, our homes. Like, we're fine, okay? But here's what would have happened if things went the way I wanted them to. We'd be bankrupt. And the reason we would be bankrupt is because we would be paying on two fronts for two different things in the middle of a pandemic. All right? But what happened? What happened? The Lord took care of us. Hey, let me go some more. Let me go some more. Because here's the crazy part. We need to get to a bigger place. We need to get into a bigger place. At one point, we realized, listen, if God doesn't do that, we've got to come up with some alternatives to create space for people. And so before COVID hit, you should just know this. Our plan was to launch an online service because we said, listen, we can't put any more seats in here, so let's just go online and reach people out of here. And so before COVID, we began to research means to broadcast online. And so literally when COVID hit, and the week that we realized we had to shut down, okay, it wasn't as simple as we'd already researched it. It was just a matter of clicking buy on Amazon. It was as simple as that. We had already worked out, what happened? God was taking care of us. And man, it's so crazy to think about how he's been doing this. I mean, as we reach this plateau where, okay, we're going to have to figure out how to broadcast out. Of all people that God could just send here. He says there's a guy named Bill whose background is in professional videography. And for the first 3 months of this, actually it was until 2 weeks ago, Bill was here every single week. Thanks, Bill. Showing us how to film and filming. And then there's this other guy named Dan who came in, who has background broadcasting, sound mixes out online. Dan's in the room. He didn't know I was going to do this. And Dan's story was something that God told him and his family pretty spontaneously, get up, move, and go down to Delaware. And they did it. It was like God was taking care of us because he was. Because he was. And I'm amazed because this is the thing. When I say us, I also just say me. The Lord takes care of me. I was reminded of this last night, man. To bring conversation full circle, when are we going to reopen? I would hope soon. Truthfully, this is a lot of extra work. And guys, I'll be honest with you, I'm tired. And I had this moment last week where I'm just breaking down. And I had a friend literally just come to me in the parking lot and just go, hey, listen, I hope this is okay. But my wife and I, we just like to buy you guys pizza next week and just have it delivered to your house. And listen, I can afford pizza. That's not the point. Okay, so don't do a hashtag give Pastor Bert pizza. That's not the point. Okay, but sometimes, come on, you ever been there? Sometimes you've just had a rough enough week, you just need somebody to order you a pizza. You know what I'm talking about? And that was exactly where I was. And the Lord knew that, and the Lord used them to bless our family with something as simple as that. But listen, let me just bring it all the way. Remember, Jesus doesn't just bless with a little individual mouthful. Right, he blesses so there's 12 baskets left over, because the truth is that God is better at blessing than you are at asking. Of all the different kinds of pizza that could be delivered, and they ask me, what kind do you want? I'm like, I'm not going to be picky, whatever. Of all the different kinds, literally it was my favorite kind of pizza from my, the kind I never order myself because I always feel guilty getting it, it's my absolute favorite. They have all the different kinds, they didn't know that. But what is that? Well, here's what that is. And I'm telling you this because I want you to understand the same God who's been faithful to me is faithful to you. You know, I've never seen him do stuff like that. You will if you're looking for it. Like, if your filter isn't all the ways you feel like God has failed you, but instead, Lord, are you blessing me right now? Would you show me if you're? You'd be amazed how much you see him doing this. Why? Really simple. Because God's heart is to take care of you. It is. Do you know that the Lord can be trusted? Do you know that he delights in providing for you and guiding you and shepherding you and meeting all your needs? And doing this isn't a chore to him. It's another thing to check off his to-do list. It comes out of who he is. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you provide for us and you do so well. Lord, we thank you because even the times where we weren't even aware of it, you were taking care of us. Even the times where, you know, we thought that you had abandoned us, you were working something way better for us than we could have asked for ourselves. And Lord, we praise you because we didn't deserve that, but you're just so stinking faithful and so good. And just like this crowd that's on the side of a hill, like who's just simply, they're hungry. Like, your heart breaks for us too when we hunger, and you care about feeding us. And we thank you for that. Lord, I just want to pray for my brother or my sister right now who just needs to hear this today, who feels like you've abandoned them. Would you show them this week how faithful you are? And for the one who's watching today, for the one who's going like, well, yeah, God would do that for good people, but not me. I need you to hear something today, okay? Remember, he's a God who takes barley loaves and small fish and creates feasts. Whatever is in your hand, whether that be what you consider to be a lack of character, whether you consider it to be all the things that you've done in your past, here's the deal. God is able to transform that into something glorious. God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die for you, to wipe away your past and to bring you new life, to make you a new person, to do new things. And so that you can know that's true, he raised Jesus from the dead. So today, if you would say that you're not following the Lord, but you'd like to, if you're ready to basically say, Lord, here's what I have, take it and use it. I want you just to pray with me right now. Here's what we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. God, I confess that I've sinned, that I'm broken, that I'm imperfect. But I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me and that you raised him from the dead so that I can have new life with you. So Lord, I'm asking you, here's my life. Please, like, this is what I have in my hands. Please take it and use it for your glory. I hand it over to you now. Fill me with your spirit. I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now listen, guys, if you prayed with me just now, I want you to know you haven't finished the race, you've just started it, and we want to help you take your first steps, which is why we as a church created a special website just for you. If you go on over to solidground.church/firststeps, you're going to find a bunch of free resources and videos to help you go forward in your relationship with Jesus. Also, if there's any way that we can serve you, if we can be praying for you about anything, please let us know. Email us hello@solidground.church. Let us know how we can be there for you in this really weird and difficult time. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in today. Bless you. Hope you have a great week. And we'll see you next week for the conclusion of God of Miracles.